topic I'm going to try to deal with today is very complex, and I'm saying in advance that there are things I'm leaving out. There's no way I can cover everything involved. The problem of Aguna, which is not, in a certain sense, a new situation, but in another sense is, we find discussed, of course, in the Gemara. Mishum Iguna Hikilu, people learned at the beginning of Gittin. It's the whole discussion of soldiers in David HaMelech's army, how they dealt with the problem. But there's a difference between the traditional Aguna problem and what is described as the Aguna problem today. The traditional problem relates to an individual who disappears. He's a soldier fighting in the army, doesn't return from the war, and his wife is an Aguna because no one knows whether he's alive or dead. So that's a real problem. What kind of, then the Gemara will discuss what level of evidence is needed to establish that the husband has passed away. And that would free her, and she no longer would be an Aguna. That problem, of course, still exists. That hasn't changed. With the soldier in the Israeli army and the American army, clearly that still exists as a potential problem. But what has become, in the last 100 years, the major source of Aguna issues is the unwillingness of the husband to give a get. Not the disappearance of the husband, but the husband is here, and the husband, for a number of different reasons, says, I don't want to give a get to my wife. In some situations, it's simply a weapon in the dispute over money, over custody, that takes place when the marriage dissolves. In the United States, at least, and the situation is somewhat different than Israel. In the United States, in order for a couple whose marriage ends, has to have a civil divorce as well as a get. Legally in the United States, if I'm not permitted to perform a religious ceremony for someone without a civil ceremony as well. It's law of the land, requirement of the country. Many of the decisions that are going to affect the futures of the two people and of their children are going to be decided by the secular courts. Many men feel that the secular courts are more sympathetic. Yeah, I haven't, old one I put together, so I'll give you one more. That the secular courts are more sympathetic than the women, to the women than to the men. And they feel the weapon they have to balance that is that the wife's going to need a get. And therefore, if they withhold the get, it gives them leverage in the dispute with the wife. What has also made it more complicated is that the Aguna issue is no longer totally one-sided. From the time of the Cherem of Rabbeinu Gershom, that a husband cannot divorce his wife without her permission, right? Originally the halacha was that only the husband had to have done. The wife, a husband give a get to his wife bal korcho, against her will, but the Cherem Rabbeinu Gershom changed that. So now, not only can the husband refuse to give his wife a get, but the wife can refuse to accept the get. So there is an additional level where you can have an igun rather than aguna. Right, where the husband is the one who stops because the wife chooses to accept the guy. Right. Now, it's not totally balanced, even after the Chayim Drabbeinu Gershom, because the husband has an additional option that the wife doesn't have. And that option is a Heter Me'er Rabban. Right? That's also included in the Chayim Drabbeinu Gershom, under certain circumstances, that if 100 Rabbanim agree, they give permission to the husband to have another wife, even though the first wife didn't take the get. So there still is an imbalance, but the problem has widened. Already 100 years ago, when Jews started coming from in large numbers from Eastern Europe to America, the problem of the Agunos became much more serious, because often the husband would come to America initially by himself. Not the whole family, there was no money. The husband would come with the understanding that when he made a living and he raised enough money, he would bring his wife and children to America. Unfortunately, sometimes the husband didn't send for his wife in America to come to him in America, and he moved on, his life changed, and he may have even married somebody else, leaving the wife behind in Europe in Aguna. Similarly, we had problems in the Soviet Union, where you didn't have rabbis, you didn't have gittin. The whole issue of when a wedding is a proper halachic wedding, what about a civil marriage, what about a marriage performed by a non-Orthodox rabbi, and if so, do they require a get or not, is a topic I'm not going to discuss. At least not in this class. Maybe Rabbi Schwartz has someone else speaking about the issue of civil marriages, maybe not. But it's a related issue, obviously. And if one would assume that you have to give a get from a civil marriage, of course the Aguna problem gets even worse. Because the kind of people who have civil marriages without a religious ceremony are certainly not the kind of husbands who are concerned about giving their wives gittin. They're not even bothering to have a mitzvah of kedusha in the first place. Now, this is the problem. How extensive the problem is, it's hard to say, because it's very difficult to define how many women are aguna. We certainly know of real cases, but every time there is a split between a husband and wife and they separate, often the wife is quick to say, I'm an aguna, I want to get now. Right? How much time should they be separated before it's a real problem? Good question. In the prenuptial agreement from the Israeli one that we had added to it, there they talk about 180 days. There's a discussion of how much time of separation. But while I included the Israeli prenuptial agreement, and I think it's very important, understand that Israel and America are fundamentally different situations. Because in America, there's civil marriage and civil divorce. Custody is normally decided by the family court, not by the rabbanim in America. And in Israel, any issue to do with marital life, marriage, divorce, custody, settlements, are essentially decided by the rabbinical court. So it's a completely different set of circumstances, which should make it easier in Israel to deal with the aguna problem. Whether they have been successful or not, it's a good question, but there are certain tools that they have in Israel that they don't have in America. Right? Because a man can't remarry in Israel legally without giving his wife a get. Marriage and divorce are decided by rabbinical courts. The court also can use government pressure in ways you can't do in America. A get in USCA, a get that's forced upon a person against his will by a secular authority is possible. It's not a good get. In Israel, it's not a secular authority. The Beis Din, the Knesset has voted certain things, giving the rabbinic court power to throw someone in jail if he doesn't want to give his wife a get. And if it's done on the basis of the Beis Din, then it's not a problem to get Musa. So there are tools available in Israel which we don't have in America. Okay. With that introduction, I'm going to discuss various approaches that have been suggested to deal with the Aguna problem. Now, we're starting off with the halacha says that a husband can only give a get based on his das, his free will. The wife can't be forced to take the get either. So you require they both give their free will. So it looks like we're stuck. One of them says no. Certainly if the husband says no, no free will, can't do anything about it. So in Europe, they use communal pressures. And that's one solution. Right? If the rabbanim feel that the person has treated his wife outrageously and the marriage is clearly over, and he just refused to give her a get, he could be ostracized from the community. If you put in chayr, if he refuses to go to Beis Din, the Beis Din issues what's called a seiruv, you know, a ruling that the person refused to go to Beis Din, which produces the result basically of a chayr, that he should be excluded from the shuls and should be spoken to. That only works in a society which is organized and where it's going to be followed. Unfortunately, often in this country, since the Orthodox community is so splintered, you know, one shul won't let him in, but the shul down the block will say yes, but we don't trust that Beis Din. Then wrote the seiruv because we don't have a community that everybody agrees on the same but they didn't. We heard his side of the story. They're listening to only one side, and it's not fair. And the pressure, communal pressure, is often, in vast majority of cases, ineffective. Secondly, in Europe, if the Beis Din said he was obligated to give her a get and he didn't want to, they'd beat him up. Try that in America, and they'll arrest you and throw you in jail for beating someone up. And there are such situations where there was a ruling that they were allowed to beat someone up. They went and beat him up. He went to the police, and the police arrested them. American society considered barbaric, and you have no right to beat someone up because he doesn't want to give his wife a get, and they throw you in jail. Makes the technique rather ineffective. What does that leave? What it leaves are the following. One, the possibility that the Beis Din will somehow be mafkia the kedushin. They'll take the kedushin and make it disappear somehow, which, while it sounds on the surface, is absurd, but the Gemara discusses hafkaras kedushin. It may not work in the cases where certain people use it, but the concept of hafkaras kedushin does exist in Chazal and the Gemara. A second way of dealing with it is to build in a condition, a tznai, into the kedushin, so that with certain circumstances will trigger the tznai, and that because of the tznai, the kedushin will become invalidated. Not because Beis Din on its own is mafkia the kedushin, but the person had agreed to the condition. If he doesn't follow the condition, that would be mafkia the kedushin. Before you write down, you know, don't leave now with all these solutions because they're all problematic. Right? But they should be, but they have been suggested, and they have to be addressed. The third approach is essentially to apply financial pressure. How do you apply financial pressure? By having the couple, before they get married, though theoretically then even after the decision took place, as other complications that could be done, to agree to certain financial conditions. Agree to certain financial conditions that if we're separated and I don't go to Beis Din, then I'm obligated to pay X amount of money. Right? The various versions of prenuptial agreements all revolve around making it financially difficult for someone not to give his wife a get. Right? The cost, dollars and cents, shkalim, right? The cost is going to make it difficult. The problem, and this also has its problem, and that's why it comes in variations, and I'll explain why the Beis Din of America prenuptial agreement is done the particular way it's done. The problem that lies with the prenuptial agreements with financial inducements is asmachta problem. For those of you who haven't learned the sugyas of asmachta, if a person agrees to something financial, but we have reason to assume that he only agreed because he never thought it was going to happen. He didn't really mean it. Right? I want to convince you, for example, to buy a piece of property from me. Right? So I say, if I don't produce the property the way, if you're not satisfied, I'm going to give you, not only I'll give you your money back, I'll give you $100,000. Right? And the $100,000 is way beyond the value of the property. So even though I agree to it and I write it down, the witnesses, we paskas machlo kanye. I wouldn't have made a condition that's so out of line if I didn't really believe it wasn't going to happen, right? I certainly had no intention to give me the $100,000 for this little small piece of property, right? So I said it, you know, just as an exaggeration. Exaggerations, we assume you don't mean. Most people, we assume that people, when they get married, intend to stay married. So when they get married, they don't have in mind, well, when we get divorced, and I don't want to give you a get, I will pay such and such a fine. Because I don't believe we're going to get divorced. You know, and I don't believe the whole thing, and I'm just saying it, you know, I'm just saying it to prevent, to make people happy. So we're going to have to see how you come up with financial conditions that shouldn't have a problem of an asmachta. Yeah. No, because Chacham would misak in it. It doesn't matter what I want to agree to it.
And if you add on?
Because the assumption is that the ksuva was an honest arrangement. Chazal introduced the notion of Tanai Ksuva, and therefore, you know, you're bound by it.
Could you add it in to the Ksuva?
You could add, Tanai Ksuva, you could add any kind of money to a Tanai Ksuva.
So if
Ksuva
is not considered a Smachta, then you add it?
So that's one, Rabbi Tendler basically, you know, suggests that Tanai and Ksuva. It's not so simple, because the question is, you really, how you do it and carry it out to get the get to happen. Right? Now, the other thing that is involved in the prenuptial agreement, but I will get back to you. Right? See, in a prenuptial agreement is we want to get them in front of a Beis Din, right? And how do we get people in front of a Beis Din? You'll say, what's the problem? Beis Din will send them in a hazmana din. Well, first of all, there are many, many but they did. Right? And in our community, if I have a complaint against me, you take me to a Beis Din. So the first thing I'll say is, well, he wants me to go to that Beis Din. He probably knows someone on that Beis Din. I don't want to go to that Beis Din. I want to go to another Beis Din. And we'll go to that bed. I'll go to another bed. Right? He can't force me to go to any particular Besdin. So then starts the game. Right? We'll negotiate. Right? This Besdin, that Besdin. Eventually we'll come up with a Zabla. A Zabla is Zebar La'echa because we can't agree on a Besdin. Each one of us picks one person. The two Dayanim is supposed to pick a third. If I'm a real wise guy, I pick for my borer someone who's never going to agree to a third party. And that's the one that he can control, that I know the other side won't accept. So I can stalemate it by playing the game of back and forth, this best and that best and blah, blah. So you want, included in any agreement, a commitment to go to a very specific Besdin. And they both agree in advance, and then, you know, they both agreed to go to Besdin X. Yeah?
Just touching back on the Asmachta. Yeah. Does that invalidate the getter, or is it just a problem?
Yeah, it may invalidate the whole getter. Yeah. Because it was done under pressures that were improper. Because the payment, it was not legal. He was made to force to give money that he shouldn't have to give. And he only agreed to give the get to stop paying the fine. But the fine was not a fair fine. I don't want to get into the question about the get laws and which was discussed by Rabbi Reese a few weeks ago on Shabbos, whether that was improper pressures. Right. Before I get to the prenuptial agreement, because you realize that the prenuptial agreement, while I think they will turn out to be the best we can do, are not optimal because they still require, you know, they don't guarantee a result, right? They guarantee that a guy's going to have to pay a lot of money. But if he's a rich man, he may not care. Right. Now, I left that one point, which is very relevant in our society, which is one of the sources of problems of agunos is that we live in a society that's not particularly stable religiously. And what happens is that one of the parties becomes less religious than the other, and therefore doesn't care. Right? Let's say the husband becomes non-religious, the wife remains religious. So the husband says, I'm not religious anymore. I can get someone to marry me without a get. Doesn't bother me at all, right? You're religious. You can't even marry without a get. Tough, right? And how do we get someone who's not, and it could be in some ways the reverse too. How do we get someone not religious to accept the authority of a Besdin when they're not even religious? So why do they care? Again, American Israel is different. In Israel, even if you're not religious, you don't have a choice. Because that's what the law is now. Could change, but that's what the law is now. But you have to go for the best. Let me start with some of the other suggested solutions, and I'll come back to prenuptial agreements, and I'll leave a great deal out. You'll notice how thick this one is, right? I must have mine so thick, right? I don't think they're that thick. Okay. I'll start with the issue with Snai, and then we'll get a short discussion of God's solution, and then I'll get back to prenuptial agreements. I want to go into what's exactly included in the agreement, as it's formulated and why it's formulated in this particular way. The Gemara in Ksuvis, the Mishnah in Ksuvis, says, HaMakadesh es Isha Al-Menas, the two cases in the Mishnah, the person can make a condition, can make a conditional kedusha, right? And if that condition is not fulfilled, then the kedusha abosah. So he marries, he does a ma'aseh kedusha on condition that the woman is not a woman who has taken vows upon herself. Turns out she has taken vows. She didn't fulfill the condition. Kedushin is bad. Alright? Kinsa stam. What if he didn't say anything at the nisuin. And it turned out that she had nidarim, which make life very difficult to deal with her. Teitse shlo b'ksuva. She doesn't get a ksuva. But apparently he has to give her a get. Now there are two ways of learning the Mishnah. One way of learning the Mishnah is these are two separate cases. One is, it talks about one is substitution, one is nisuin. Or one can say it's the same case continued. Right? After all, Jewish marriage is a two-stage process, kedushin and nisuin. So he made a tznai at the time of the kedushin, but neglected to repeat the tznai at the time of the nisuin. Yes? Made the kedushin and he said, on condition that you don't have nidar. Right? And then he goes through and has nisuin, doesn't say anything further. Kinsistam. Right? Now, even there, kinsistam, even if you assume that it's one case, again you can divide it into two subcategories. Subcategory one is he simply, like we have today, the kedushin and nisuin in one ceremony, he doesn't repeat at the time of the nisuin, and before they actually live together, he discovers one second, you know, in the case of the second case of Mishnah of Mumin is even simpler. Whoops, I noticed that she's got all these, you know, strange things under her dress, you know, wow, she got all these Mumin. Right? Or, not just that.
Why does he living with her have anything to do with the Kishmi?
Ah, we'll see. Or that he did beer with her, you know, they actually lived together. We will see why the question whether having relations or not makes a difference. Okay. So let's go to the bottom two lines of the page. Itma. Kitcher al tznai v'kinsa stam. Rav amar tzricha himenu get. U'shmuel amar eina tzricha himenu get. So that, which, l'chore is, that's the two ways of understanding our Mishnah. Rav says our Mishnah is talking about one case. So the Mishnah says in the first case, Kedushin tznai, she doesn't keep the tznai, kedushin a bottle. But if kinsa stam, she loses the ksuva, but she needs the get. And Shmuel says, no. It's the Mishnah kinsa stam is not talking after my kedushin with the tznai. Once you made the tznai, you don't have to keep on repeating the tznai all day long. You made the tznai in the kedushin, and the tznai isn't kept. You don't have to give her a get, even though you had an nisuin. So Gemara has a discussion, turn to Amid Beis, which is contradicting, is against the sugya in Yevamos. There are two explanations for the machlokes, one is sugya in Ksuvis, one is sugya in Yevamos. It's a very long sugya in Ksuvos, it's very possible that later parts of the sugya in Ksuvis are based on the other explanation. It's going to be important for us because, on one hand, I should close this whole discussion, move on to the next topic. Rav Shmuel halacha is b'isurim to Rav. Rav says she needs a get. So the Ksav Kedushin is not going to work. It's going to be nisuin in every case. Right? But, as we'll see, it depends how we explain Rav. Because even though the Gemara's Maskan is like Rav, we're going to find that the Ramah quotes a specific case which he accepts Tznai, and then the Nozi B'Yehuda extends it to a different case. So even though the Maskan of the Gemara would seem to be doesn't work, there seem to be exceptions. We have to understand what the problem is. Alright? So Agmar says, Lo teima taima de Rav kivin shekinsa stam achule achle v'tznoi ela taima de Rav lefishen adam osev v'ilasov v'ilasnum. So the two possibilities. Why, if he had a tznai in the Kedushin and didn't repeat the tznai in the Nisuin, that he has to give her a get. One is the fact that he didn't repeat the tznai is a mechila on the tznai, It's an indication that when he was in Mechilas Atnai, the Rambam talks about Bittul Atnai, that he dropped it. Because if he really meant it, he would have repeated it again at the time in Nisuin. If he didn't repeat it at the time in Nisuin, apparently he wasn't demanding it. Which leads, of course, the possibility of keep maintaining the Tanai by just having repeat the Tanai at the time of the Nisuin as well, if that's the reason in the Gemara. Right? If the only problem is that he didn't repeat the Tanai in the Nisuin, that shows that it was Marshal the Tanai, then theoretically we can make him make the Tanai again the time in the Nisuin and then bring the Tanai back.
So the Nisuin is susceptible to Tanai.
Right. Which is a separate discussion in the Gemara with the Yesha ain't Tanai ben Nisuin, which we'll get to. It's discussed in the first Tosfos right on the Amid. We should only study part of the Tosfos because we'll never finish anything. Very complicated subject. Alright. What is... Alright. The second explanation is because ein Adam oso bi'ilaso bi'las nos. Since he has an Nisuin and he lives with the woman and he doesn't want to be machkia the Kedushin of Mafreya because then it turns out he lived with her illicitly. Ein Adam oso bi'ilaso, it's a Chazok, ein Adam oso bi'ilaso bi'las nos. Therefore, he has to give her a get. Big difference between the two, obviously, is if the reason is Chazok ein Adam oso bi'ilaso bi'las nos, that means there was a bia. Right? There was no bia, so it's, what do you mean? It's irrelevant. Right? According to the first reason, Mechilas Atnai, that even if the Nisuin took place and there was no Maisa bia, he didn't live with her. Doesn't matter. The very fact that he went through the next step of the process and didn't sue him and didn't repeat the Tanai means he dropped it. Right? If you say, no, it's not that he dropped it, but ein asam osa bi'ilaso bi'lasnus, so then that's only a problem if they actually live together. Right? They didn't live together, so the chazakah remains, but it's irrelevant. All right, so let's look in the Tosfos. Right. So Rab Yitzchak Perish Lo Tema, it's about 5-6 lines, it's the third of the thinner lines. Lo Tema time the Rab Kim the Kinsa Afaga the Lobal Achle Tnai Vite Tricha Get. Forget about the question of Ksuva, it's not our problem. At the time of the Rab Mishum Dein Adam Baum Bilas Bilas Nus, and it disagrees in Ulam Rab Lezer later on. The Bibal Kula Amba Tricha Get Lo Pliga Rabbi Shmuel El Bishloba, right? But just to make it stronger that there's a Mandam in the Gemara later on says the whole Machlokas is that there's no Bia. Right? If there's Bia, Shmuel agrees he has to give a get because everybody agrees Chazak Ein Adam Oso Bilas Nos Bilas Nos. The whole question is only if there's no Nisu. Alright. So if we skip in the Tosfos, I told you it's a long amount of time, the second of the wide lines again and says, one second, this depends whether you hold Yesha ain't Tanai ben Nisuin. There is a mandah, there is a daya that the Tanai never works in Nisuin anyway. There's no Tanai in Nisuin, so there's nothing to talk about. Tanai works in Dushan, it doesn't work in Nisuin. Oh. Alright. But if you skip all the way later, to the hockey perish, lefisha ain't tonight in the suin perish, ain't regilis, she is spot in the suin machmas tonight. It doesn't mean that tonight doesn't work for the suin, it's just extremely rare. It's uncommon. Right? Ain't tonight in the suin could be understood that there is no such thing as tonight in the suin, period. So why we care about the tonight question, the suin, the suin. Or it means we can assume ain't tonight in Nisuin because people don't do it. But that could be counted in the case where someone will get up at the wedding ceremony and say it's not. They can say, if it's a problem that tonight doesn't work for Nisuin, it works with Kedushin and Nisuin are different in terms of Das, I'm going to get to Rav Chaim and all the things about that, then it doesn't matter what I say, ain't tonight in Nisuin. But if ain't tonight in Nisuin means not that I can't make it Tanai Nisuin, but people, if they go from Kedushin to Nisuin, don't make Tanayim anymore. They're serious about getting married. Well, if someone got up at the ceremony and said, I'm making it Tanai, so he shows that he is making it Tanai. Right. Now comes one question. All right. So Tosis sentence says, one second, we stop and scratch our head for a second. Rav says that you marshal the snai, or yena doesn't do a gosis nus, and therefore it's so. This kedushin. What do you mean is with this suin? You can't have an suin without kedushin. It's a two-stage process. The kedushin was made with a tnai. She didn't keep the tnai, right? The minute she didn't keep the tnai, or the tnai was a fact, he made a kedushin on a condition that she doesn't have nadara, or she doesn't have mumu, she doesn't have blemishes. She has blemishes. So at that moment, the kedushin is batal. He then doesn't assume it. What if someone doesn't assume it without kedushin? Is it worth anything? So why do we care? Fine, he didn't repeat the tonight, then assume it, or good and assume it. So there's no kedushin. Right? What happens to the kedushin? So there could be a number of explanations of this. Tosfos says, so Tosfos raises the issue at the end of Tosfos. He'd have to make another Maisa Kedushin. He didn't make another Maisa Kedushin. So why do I care that he's Meichel Etznai? He's Meichel Etznai. There was no Maisa Kedushin because the first Kedushin wasn't good. Kedushin was on condition there was no Tznai. There was a Tznai. Kedushin became bottled. How do you resuscitate, you know, the Kedushin that was already bottled? So Tosfos suggests, Niyu Yichupa Kona Nicha. Perhaps we can say, this depends on the discussion. I don't know how many people are in the first parak in Kedushin. Whether the chuppah is kona or not. If chuppah is kona, so the nesuin is Kedushin plus nesuin because there's a marriage of the chuppah. But it's a suffix in the Gemara, whether the chuppah is kona. Tells us, it's vafilim tim salam, the chuppah ain't a kona. Matzinu lemeimer de bishas kedushin hoyedata lakach shem yachnisena lebisov yer machol hatnai. The Tosfos suggests perhaps we want to say that he had in mind from the very beginning that if it turns out that I change my mind, I'm going to do a ma'aseh nesuin afterward, so I'm machol hatnai now. Right? Not that the tnai is machol hatnai later. And then you don't have a Maisa Kedusha. No, I'm Meichel Etznai now. And we're going to see when we get to Iran different ways of understanding how Meichel Etznai. How that works. Can be Meichel all kinds of Tznai. We know if the Tznai is a monetary matter, we have the notion in Skilis Kabaltis. Right? If I say, I'll marry you if you give me $1,000, I can say, you know what? I want to marry you. I treat it as if I got the $1,000. I don't really need the $1,000. That works with money. How is it going to work with a condition that she doesn't have nadarim or she doesn't have movement? Right? Like I make believe it doesn't happen. We'll get to that. There's another possibility, and that other possibility and I have here is that. Especially if we assume it's a case where they live together, if they live together, there is another Maisa Kedusha. Right? Hein hein ei de yichud, hein hein ei de bi. Right? We know they're living together. Everybody knows they're living together. Living together, it's Kedusha Biya. We're the Edom of Kedusha Biya. Hein hein ei de yichud, ei de bi. If they're living together in the poem, we assume they had relations at some point. You don't really have Eide Yichud either, because it's not like a wedding where someone points to Eide Yichud. It's a non-sadeh. Everybody sees that they're living together. Right? So there is another possibility that you don't need you do have a new Maisa Kedusha. That ain't a chenami, the first Maisa Kedusha, once the Tanai wasn't kept, was gone. But the fact that they later chose to live together, and everybody knows they're living together, that itself is a Maisa Kedusha. Kedusha is a Bia, and what are the Eidim? The Eidim are called an Ansadi. Everybody knows they're living together. Good enough. All right. Yeah?
Is it Kiddush Master Nisuin?
Good question. All right. But let's assume that it creates a problem. Right? It's not going to get to the Kiddush.
Okay.
It's going to get to the Kiddush anyway. So it's not going to... Now, the Gemara goes on, and I see that I'm really not going to have time to discuss all of it. I gave you on the next plot the Rabbah's opinion, Machlok v'toras isha achas, ke'en shtei nashim, v'toras isha achas, ki yudas di be'akol, ene tzvichim menu get, where there are many pshatim in this Gemara. The Rif says a whole many pshatim, but according to Rabbah, you would get the conclusion that if he does Kedushin, immediately does the Nisuin. That's where the Rif learns it. Certainly, if it's one woman, and Rashi learns it even more complex, Isha Kein Shtei Nashim means he divorces her and then remarries her. If he does Nisuin right after the Kedushin, then he doesn't have to give her that, which would resuscitate the Tanai, if we would pass like Rabbah. Because in normal cases, in our world, Kedushin is followed immediately by the Nisuin. One woman, Kedushin, father, and Nisuin, we don't assume Mechilas HaTnai, and he doesn't have to give her a gift. But the Maskana, the Gemara, as we turn to page 4, is Omar Rav Kahana Mishmei De'ula. That's about 7-8 lines from the bottom, 8 lines from the bottom of the page. Whatever Robert says, one way or the other, but if there was Bia, right? Bottom line, Lach Lamaisa, if the Tanai was not repeated at the time in the Suin, and there was a Kitchab al Tnai, the Kinsa Stam, and there was a Maisa Bia, that's it. You have to give a get, and there was a Maisa that tried to do it, the Chacham couldn't find any way to undo it. Case closed. Okay. Now we have the corresponding Sugi in Yevamos on the bottom of the dot that I have 5, which starts with an other case. Itzma. Tana Shlomiyana Vigdila V'amda V'nifes Rav Omar Eina Tzvicha Get Nishen. You have Kedusha Ketana, but not the case where the father is Makadashar, but when the father has passed away, what we call Kedusha Miyud, where the mother and the brothers arrange for her to be married to this man and she's still a Ketana. This kind of Kedusha Miyun, what's called Kedusha Miyun, doesn't require a get. She can turn around and say, I don't want him. Period. I don't want him. It's Miyun. Take off the Kedusha. What happened? She didn't do Miyun. But instead, she went and married somebody else. As soon as she became a Gdola, instead of Miyun was sticking to the first husband, she went off and married somebody else. So again, it's Machlok is Rav Shmuel. Rav Amar Eina Tzricha Get Misheni. Why? Because she's married to the first one. I, the Kedushin, were only Kedushin Miyun. What do you mean she's married to the first one? If she could be Mamayan, it means it's not full Kedushin. No, but she came a Gdola. The minute she's not Mamayan, it becomes real Kedushin. And the second one's solution is worthless. And Shmuel says, Shricha get me shame. Alright? The Gemara says, my love is Lo-Ba. Lo-De-Ba. Lo-De-Ba, my time is Shmuel. Shmuel, Kasova, Ka-Boa, Lo-Das, Kedushin, Rishon, and Mabala. Very interesting. Very important potential has. Even though we have a rule that ain't other mosa bilasa bilas nus, Shmuel says that if I think I'm married to somebody, right, and at the time there was a maisa kedushin, the second time I have bia, I don't have in mind anything further. I have in mind the original kedushin that I'm still married to. Even if it turns out that's going to be problematic, I don't have in mind to make kedushin in a new time. The first one was good enough. That's the kedushin rishon. Anyway, the Gemara says, why do you need this case? We have the same case. Isn't it the same machlokas al kitzur al tnai v'kinsa stam? Doesn't the same principles apply? And the Gemara says the trichusa, which it says in Ksuvis as well in Yerubas. But I want to just go to near the end of the sugya. Story tells a case. Okay. Hahi uvda dahavi b'nersh. Ikdisha kshiktana. Right, about 15 lines there, before the Mishnah. There was a case, and we had Tushe Mir, in the Kaddish over that, the father, when she was a ketana. Right? The Godla of Otsveya Bekuse, she grew up, and he gave her this very interesting, put her in a palace, right? And he didn't have relations with her yet as a gedola, so Rashi learns it. Right. For us, achrin of a chot femina, and another guy ran to the palace and stole the wife and married her. Rav Bruna, Rav Chanan, Tamidi, the Rav have a hasam, v'lo hitrichua gita mibasra. So Rav Bruna, Rav Chanan, Tamidim of Rav, and Rav says that if, as long as she didn't say, she didn't do miyun, the first kedushin become full-fledged kedushin. Therefore, she doesn't require a get in the second one because she's mekudeshes to the first one. Second one can't do anything. Okay. Amra Papa. Benash mintvin sive v'hada meisva v'kusei. Said. That's they he wouldn't have put it in the past unless there was a Maisa Kedush. Rav Ashi Amar. That who asa Shaloka Hogan, he acted improperly. Lefichach asa bo Shaloka Hogan, Rav Kina Rabban Kedush Shemina. Since he didn't act properly, the Chacham take away the Kedushin from. That's why there's no need for a get. Chacham just take away the Kedushin. So he didn't act properly, you take away Kedushin.
So she's not married to either one?
No, it's the second one. The second one acting improperly, stealing someone's wife. Even if she wasn't really married to him, he had no right to do it. But Mafkiya's Kedushin. So Rashi says, why? Mafkiya Kedushin minei, the Makar, the Kaddish told the Bedas Chachamim who. So the Das Moshe Yisrael Kamina and Rabbi Nami the Chote if Ishim Mibala learn every kedusha. Okay. We say in the formula, right? Hare Hamikdash the Das Moshe Yisrael. It's taken seriously. And since this person stole someone else's wife, even if he had questions about the legality of the first kedusha and it's not proper, he says Das Moshe Yisrael. The Chacham don't accept it, and they can be mafkia the kedusha. Tosfos says, "Misafkari time dafkinim mishum dekol makadesh that the rabbanim makadesh and mishum yesh koch dechacham lakar davim in a Torah." Because he didn't say here kol makadesh that the rabbanim makadesh. In any event, the power of chacham to mafkir kedushin is clear. Whether it comes kol makadesh that the rabbanim makadesh, or in some cases simply they have a right to be okay kedushin. Now. Based on this, some people say, oh, person doesn't want to give his get, he's not acting, also Shaloka Hogan, we mafkia kedusha. The problem is, and this is a lengthy discussion, again, I don't really have time to go to, even though there are a number of cases where the Gemara discusses Afkar's kedusha, and you still find in the times of the Gaonim and the Rishonim some new applications, there comes a point in Jewish history, where the Chachamim say, we can't extend it anymore. We only apply it to those cases that the Gemara or the Rishonim already mentioned of Hafkar's Kedushin. The Chachamim of today don't have the right to be Mafkiya Kedushin, to make this judgment and be Mafkiya Kedushin, and you stop expanding it. We're no longer Mafkiya Kedushin. Period. So you're going to ask me, so how come some Rabbanim say they might have Afkiya Kedushin anyway? Because they will claim that the cases that they deal with are cases where there was either deception, or such a situation where if the person would have known, for example, one of the arguments used is a husband, Rachman Tzana, is an abuser. He beats up his wife. Right? They say, and yet they want to give her a get. So the supporters of course, Kedushin say, listen, number one, no one wants to be an abused wife. So she would have known that he was an abuser, she wouldn't have married him. She didn't know, but if she would have known, she never would have agreed to marry. One. Two, someone doesn't wake up one day and become an abuser. He has to have, you know, problems. Right? He had to have tendencies, he had to have a pre-existing condition that led to him to abuse his wife. He may not have demonstrated it, but it didn't come out of nothing. Right? And therefore, they're mafkia kedushin. Why are the vast majority of Rabbanim uncomfortable with this? Uncomfortable is a mild word. Number one, the argument that there must have been a pre-existing condition is a very difficult argument to maintain, because you could apply it to everything. Right? Nothing comes out of just by now, so it must have been a pre-existing. You know, talking about the order conditions. If they don't get along now, there must have been a problem that the husband or the wife had in the beginning that just came out now. Because nothing comes out of nothing. Number two is the question of Sava V'Kibra. Right? Often what happens is someone is charming and they're also abusive. And the wife can't really say, I didn't know that there were problems. I knew, but I thought I could handle it. Well, you thought you could handle it. It's unfortunate. Otherwise, we will destroy not only all marriages, but all commercial transactions whatsoever. Every time it turns out I got a bum deal, I say, oh, well, I never would have agreed to, you know. If I would have known this car was a lemon, I never would have bought the car. And how do I know now it's a lemon? Because it's not working very well. You see how far you can extend that. I may be giving short shrift to people who have more arguments, but that's essentially the problem. Gross collusion. There are rare exceptions. There are a couple of truths for Rabbi Moshe. The truths for Rabbi Moshe essentially deal with situations where, I'll give you the one example, printed in Nigros Moshe. Person had was mentally unstable, and the wife didn't know anything about it. Right? But he had the kind of condition that, you know, is apparent at certain times and not apparent at others. Many, not everybody, even people with schizophrenia with most serious mental conditions, walk around, you know, all the time looking strange. They go through periods where it can be not obvious. Right? But there was a prehistory. Prehistory of a serious mental instability. Before this woman met him, she didn't know anything about it. He withheld the information. He later cracked up completely and was institutionalized and couldn't give her a get. Not that he didn't want to give her a get. He has his achliya shoti. He became completely, you know, completely lost any rationality. We won't deal with the question of what are the criteria for being a shota. We assume this is a case that's Baruch Kachama, that he's a shota, that he can't give her a get. Right? So you have a real terrible problem. On one hand, he's now institutionalized, he can't give her a get. And everybody agrees he's a shota. On the other hand, this was clearly a pre-existing condition. Right? This is an extreme case. And it's true, in that case, Rav Moshe says that they're mafkir kedushin. Right? Extreme case. The applications often are, let me say, far less extreme by those who apply it. and I won't say any more. Okay. Let's get back to if Afkar's Kedushin doesn't work, yeah.
Is that from the time when they were first married or from right now?
Right.
When we try to have Afkar's
Kedushin. Okay. That's a very interesting discussion. You have to go through the sugya in the beginning of Gittin, the Machlokes Rishon. Pashtus in Afkar's Kedushin is that it eliminates the Lemachreya, that the Kedushin was never good.
So does that basically mean it's the same thing as Kedushin Tavos?
Yeah, it becomes Kedushin Tavos.
Is there a difference between those two?
No, if I'm Afkir, except Kedushin Tavos doesn't require Bezin to do anything. It's a Tavos, right? If I'm a Kaddish, an Isha, you know, I borrow from my friend his Cadillac, right? And a suit, and I walk in saying, you know, this is my suit and this is my Cadillac, and I'm a rich man, right? And it turns out that it was all a fraud, right? It's not my suit and it's not my Cadillac, and I'm a pauper, that's a toss, right? I don't need Rabbanon to say Mafkir Kedushin, right? Of course, Kedushin is a decision by the Bez. Now, there are Rishonim, and that you have to get in, you know, in the particular case, in the beginning of Gittin, and if the Yeshiva is learning Kedushin, this year will be a lot of years before we learn Gittin, where one interprets, where he gives a get, and it's a problem with the get, that the, of course, Kedushin means that somehow the Chachamim make the get valid again. Ramban there, I mean, but Pashtus, the normal case, of course, Kedushin means it never was, right? It never was. Now, if I said Afkar's Kedushin can't be applied, we don't apply Afkar's Kedushin in new cases anymore, and if the Maskana of the Gemara is that Tanai doesn't work, so why am I still talking about it? So let's just continue a little bit further about what the problems in the Tanai is. In the Ran, page 8, there's a whole discussion of what is this Mechilas HaTanai business? It's important that somebody can be Mechil every Tanai. So in the first white line, Vehechi Matzi Machel Etzna. How can be Machel Etzna? Vishlam v'matana v'omer amanashe titni li masayim zehuvim Matzi Machel. Zahavilei ki'ilu amar la hareini ki'ilu is kabalti. Ki'ilu is kayim etzna. If it's a monetary dispute, I can say I accept less. We have this in many, many situations. You have a pigeon of Ben, right? Making a pigeon of Ben, and you don't have 5 zehuvim. And the kohen says, "Okay, right?" Story of Kahana. He said, "I'll take the hat." Guess it wasn't the porcelino; it didn't cost 5 zehuvim. And he says, "I'll take it instead." Right? It's a monetary matter. If a person says, "I'm satisfied monetarily," fine. You don't have to actually get the money. If I'm satisfied, I'm satisfied. It's the same as if I got the money. All right. Aval hocha ki mocha my havi verim hayu ale nidorim nisbat lo akdush miyad. So he answers, interesting. Yesh loma de kivin shalaha naso hisna. The person makes a tnai for his own benefit. It's in my benefit that such and such either will or won't happen. Ein dato she is bat lo hakdush miyad, ala dover tovi at she yeda benedorim or she yira benmumim. The kosh lo hikve hem kudesha. Come on, give me moon rabbi in the fire. He says, listen, I made a condition because I thought I couldn't live with it. I don't know. Let me see. Right? She has blemishes. Maybe the blemishes aren't so bad. Maybe her other qualities will outweigh. So I'm sort of in abeyance. Let me see how it works out. After all, I made the condition because I want to have a certain kind of a wife. And if I'm satisfied, then I'm satisfied. So again, it's like I'm being Mekayim. We'll skip much down when Das arrived. By the time Shemichol Tznai, She'enu Miskavim La'anoso, El Tzair Eschaveiro, B'davke Masna'oso. Have a nice one. And also, when Dato Shis Kayim El Makbid. Of course, in a Makbid, Yeh Maisa Kayim. It's again the same idea. If it's not for my benefit, or I do it just to make it tonight to make you, you know, to annoy you. I make a condition to annoy you, so then I can't be Marchalit afterwards. but it doesn't depend. But it's for my benefit. If I'm happy, I'm satisfied, then I got the benefit. Rashba disagrees. At a time it derived the linen get mishum shen osam osa bilosa bilasnus ubal lishen kedushin af visheshen edar. Because if he did, if he lived with her, that gets back to Rishin on the conditions that he lived with her. Okay. I'll skip to the next page, that's in Riyaz. Where the Riyaz says that even that the Tanai is not even going to work if he does it Tanai when he does the Maisa Bia also. Alright? Baal HaRezi Mekudesh HaKadush Gmurin Va'afilu Kidesh HaTanai U'Baal HaTanai V'Oma HaReini Bo'Alayach Avnashen Lech Mumim Anudorim HaTanai Acher V'Avnashen Rotsa Abba Afilu Hoki LaRotsa Ab Mekudesh HaKadushin Adam Osa Bilasa Bilasnus Period. So what the Riyaz says, and this is very important, this should eliminate any possibility of using Tanai. Because up until now, we always had the option of saying, let him make the Tanai again as Maisa Nesuin. The case in the Gemara with Kinsa Stam. Riyaz says, if you really believe we accept the notion, Chazaka in Adam Osa Bilasa Bilos Nus, I don't care if he makes a Tanai and says, my B is on Tanai of something. Because in the back of his mind, he wants to be married to her because Ein Adam Osa Bilasa Bilasnus, period. Case closed. Okay. So, but the case is closed, but it's not closed. Alright? The Rambam, that's where the Rambam's going. Alright? Hamakadesh of Halacha Chavgimah, Hamakadesh of Tanai, V'chodah Achar Kam Yamun, Bitel at Tanai, The Rambam says, the Hosgash Mechilas Etnai is a concept bitla tnai. I make a tnai, I can then say, I change my mind. I'm a vatal with tnai. I'm a vatal it. Did it a tnai? I don't want the tnai anymore. I just dropped it now. Not just kabalti, I can mevatel it now. Therefore, lefichach, a mekadesh al tnai bekinsa stam or baal stam, as a tricha get af bishel niskayim at tnai, shema bitel at tnai, kshe baal or kshe kine. Rambam says, with bia or without bia, that bia or he does nesuin, we're always afraid that he'll mevatel it now. And therefore, she's always going to need to get me something. Right? Now, the only important part, I'm going to mention the last two lines in the Rambam, though it's relevant to other halachas more than to this, but the Rambam adds an interesting word. Chazokahi, she'ein adam Yisrael haksherim osa bi'ilaso bi'ilas nus ve'biyado atalas osa bi'ilas mitzvah. We assume that Yisrael Kosher doesn't have an illicit relationship, he can do it properly. The key word the Rambam adds, Aksherim. That may open up the possibility, if they're not religious, if they don't really care, in a society that's promiscuous, maybe it's a different kind. It's only Aksherim that applies. This is worth of a... The implication of this Rambam, the ones by Avram, it's worth a lot of discussion, but we'll leave it be. Alright, so we ended up, apparently, the Rambam, the Riyaz, it's not going to work. Let's drop the Rambam. So what happens? Along comes the Ramah. Alright, so first Mechaber says, Mechaber, as is often the case, quoting the language of the Rambam. The Rambam is in Kidsha Acher Tzicha Get Mishneiim. He says the Sofek, since the Rambam says maybe he was in Vatal at night, so we don't know. We don't know. So we possibly have to get some. Maybe he was Vatal, maybe he wasn't Vatal at night. So therefore, he needs a get. She'll need a get from the first one, but if she someone else does kedushin, she'll need a get from him too, because it's a suffix both ways. But then the Ramah continues. Matzrei. There's a major problem that started to exist in the Middle Ages. And that's what Mumri. There were Jews who converted to Christianity. Where is the problem? That's a problem in a lot. Obviously, the problem in its own right. But how does it affect this? It affects this in the following way. Couple is going to get married. Right? Maybe they'll have children. Maybe they won't have children. If they don't have children, so then, if the husband dies, he's going to have to be Yibum. Or Chalitza. Right? Either Yibum or Chalitza. What happens if his brother becomes a mumer? His brother's a mumer, his brother doesn't care. He's not gonna help her out. If she doesn't have Yibum or Chalitza, she's stuck. She's also an agun. Right? Different kind of an agun. The husband died, no children. Chiyav either Yibum or Chalitza, the other brother is a mumer, he's now a Christian, he's out of the picture. So what is Ramah's solution? They make it tnai. Suddenly the whole Gemara gets, Maskan the Gemara gets dropped. You can make it tnai again. Alright? The bottom. Okay. So first he says, Miu Imav Abinaisis Pelochis Elay Yama. Okay, that's separate. That's it. The whole discussion, what if he didn't do, if she didn't know about the brother, Yishom Dafkim Chazal B'Sof, etc., etc. Okay. So it's a suffix whether he can make whether the chlitza of the mumma works or not. Alright, and then it continues, turn the page. Top of the page. Rabakadesh Isha Vieshlo Ach Mumma. If someone married a woman and his brother already is a mumma, so what should he do? Yochel Lakadesh Vulahasnos Bitznai Kofel. Alright, he has to make the proper kind of version of Bitznai Tznai Kofel. Alright. Double the tnai. She'em people lifnei muma liyabem shelo yitein mekudeshes. So the Ramah says, in this case, the tnai works. So the Shmuel says, v'hasnas afa gabe alma minin ein tnai b'nisuin. We just learned the whole sugya and all the Rishonim and all the psak is like Rav. How did the Ramah resuscitate the tnai? Right? Right. Right? So it says that he has to do it twice. Why they make him in this case? Because Rachman of his son, a poor woman. She's going to be stuck in Aguna, the brother's a... And in this case, we understand that he really met the tnai, because he didn't want to leave his wife to be, even though we have a rule in Admas Abilas Abilas Nus, he certainly didn't want to leave his wife stuck because his brother's a mumer. That's his family's a problem, my brother's a mumer. So here he means the tnai, but he has to repeat it in the time in the suv. So the Ramah somehow opens the gate that there are circumstances, an extreme case, where the tnai can work again. And the Nozbi Yehuda extended. It's a long tour of the Nozbi Yehuda. The Nozbi talks about the case where the woman makes the tnai. Right? And he says something very interesting. And it's in the... first we'll see in the end of the third paragraph in the first column. The Nira is in, he told me b'bari she'hoisa tnai gam basadiyah ne'menet. She'kol she'omeres kein harei k'mo she'omeres b'bari she'lokiyam atnai. Mali Amash Lokia, Mali Shah Amash Lobita Asna. Rata Kazakh and other Mosa Bilasa Bilasnus. Hangbe Baal Stam, keeping Jehuvi, he shows can be other Lachavan Shank Kedushin, Mistama Baal Shank Kedushin. And he, Aina Merutsuli Baalo, Rach Bitnai, Ain Kan Kazakh. The Hain Nemenes Loma Shabala Befershot Naisa. What if you have him say it's Nai, and she knows that the only way we're going to set it up to make sure that in case there's a problem later on, that you won't have a problem of needing a get, that he may not want to give her a get. She accepts the tnai, right? And everybody has a bilas nus, but she says, I want to be able to get divorced later on, right? So I, as far as I'm concerned, the tnai is still there. And everyone has a bilas nus, works for him, doesn't apply to her because she's the one who's going to lose in the end. It's in her interest. Go to the next paragraph. In the middle of the paragraph, Kayim Isha Hitnai, Aidatnai. What if not the man made it tonight, but the woman made it tonight? Akach Nivel Asam, Lo Amini Chazaka, Ein Ha'isha Osa Bilas Nus, Mestam Achas Aitnai, Hecha the Isla Hefsik. This whole, if the Kedushin requires they both agree, if she makes the tonight, and there's a price for her to pay for the beer to be a good beer, that means later on she may get stuck being Aguna. So then we don't say ein isha osa bi losa bi lasnus. If there's a price, there's a hefsek. V'ulai michashi b'chol anashim hefsek train neseres hakolota. Shem isha in neseres hakoloseha v'abrei b'yadakach shanashim. He says maybe it's true all the times. After all, when a man agrees to get married and live with this woman, so first of all, me'ikar din, he can marry another woman as well. You have another wife. He's only limited in marrying her relatives. But if a woman gets married to him, she can't marry anybody else. She's going to be ousted to the entire world. So maybe she means it's not. Because she doesn't want to get stuck, because she's going to leave him without any option. He's going to be left with an option. Remember, she doesn't want to take the get. He has to marry a bonnet. He'll always have an option. The only thing is, at the end, Al kol panim im tomer isha beferish shehisna came be'ila rishona. You don't have to do it every time. The first bia, because we have the statement of Shmuel that we assume that the later bias on das is the first one. Beferish yesh lahakel. However, kol zeh nir le nistati lahalocha v'lo lemaisa. Ad sirof imanu od shnei gdolei ador mufusamim shoskin b'tar b'shas poskim. He says, I know this is a big chiddush, and even though I think it's correct that if she makes the tnai in the kedushin and the first bia, then, and he doesn't want to give a get, then it's okay, tnai works, I'm not going to pass it on my own. I need tumro gdolei ador to agree before it's lemais. Rav Henkin actually suggested following the Ramah and the Nazi Behuda, followed the notion of tnai. But Rav Henkin, in order to be on the safe side, gives a whole list of conditions, but he sort of doubles it, and he introduces a whole new topic, which I certainly won't have time to discuss. I'm maybe going to get enough on the prenuptial agreement. He says, let's try everything. Let's make it tnai and the kedushin and the suin. Repeat the tnai at the time in the suin. And also, let him give her a get al tnai zen. So make a tnai in the nesuin and a get al tnai as well. One of the two is bound to work, right? The get al tnai. What's the problem? Get al tnai? The Gemara is against it, right? The Gemara is against it. The get yasha. If he makes a get, if he gives her a get, and then he lives with her, we assume that he. Shem Beis Hillel, we pass him that in Hei Yichrei Yekdushin. If he lives with her, then the get's not valid. So how can he make a tnai on the get at the marriage ceremony, and then they're going to live together for 10 years? So that's mevatel the get. So he says, no, it depends. So this is his condition. He gives the conditions. Aleph, this is the way you do it. שיאחד מקדושן ואחקופ יצבה בלכתו ספר פטורין שיאחל אחד ביאסו אחרונה של הבא. Im achaze yomis blizar kayomo shistagei v'yomo b'shigono meshach shalashonim o yagen osa meshach shalashonim. Hey, bonus in Berotz. He says, I'll avoid the problem of get yashon. He's writing a get now on condition that the get will be chal after the last time they live together. Right? And what condition will she get the get? If either there's going to be a chalitza problem, or if he goes crazy and he won't have das, he can't give her a get. Or thirdly, he's magen for 3 years. They're not going to get it for 3 years, he refused to give her a get. If any of one of those three conditions are met, then the get becomes valid. Right? Then I get yiksabashita ayidei amasadus akadushim is a katsim ba'od. Bezim will set it and they won't call it a get. And I'll give it an eidim. And then he says, v'imzei yitaknu shekolakdushin asna yidei rabbi yisrael him al tnai shim yizdabnu inyoni igun and iskron el v'aget li yekayim v'yebotel mitzad hadin v'yebotel akdushim inam afreya t'yena b'yaznus. Alright, and the third one is that we're making all the weddings al tnai. Al tnai, that if the get al tnai doesn't work, then it will be kedushin al tnai. Right? If it doesn't work, and he refuses to give it, and one of the three things, either he refuses to give a get, or he becomes crazy, or there's a chalitza problem of another relative, then the kedushin will be al tnai. And I'll read it up, and I'll make it a condition, etc., and I'll try it to see if it works. All right. So he wants to get it all the way. Then there's a long tshuva for Baron Cutler that he says none of them work. The get out tonight doesn't work, and the kedushin out tonight doesn't work, and he opposed it. And also Rav Henkin also said, I need agreement. Remember, and I should have said at the very outset, any solution has to deal with a very interesting balance. On one hand, we have a rule of Mishmi Guna Ikilu. We try to find leniencies. On the other hand, it's Eishas Ish. It's Chiv Misa. It's a very serious, most serious of matters. And if I think that a certain procedure works, for example, I didn't even mention this possibility, I mentioned quickly. The Rambam paskins that if the wife says Mar Salai, I just don't want to be with him anymore, we force him to give her a get. Right? So I say we should paskin like the Rambam, right? Well, Sfaradi, Rebbe Vad Yosef, Machab, Rambam, paskin like the Rambam, right? But I know that all the vast majority of other Rabbanim in the world paskin against the Rambam, like Rabbeinu Tam, who says, no, you can't get out of it. You don't force getting it if he says more so, right? So, I can't create a situation where, as far as I'm concerned, there's a get, and as far as I'm concerned, she can remarry, and chas v'shalom, her children from the second marriage will go before some other rav, and they'll say to mamzer. Because I passed in that way, but all the other rabbanim don't pass in that way. So I leave them in a situation where they can't marry. They can only marry if I go back to me, and you know, and then the rest of the world considers them mamzer. So a solution has to be close to universally accepted. Yeah.
Aren't those rabbanim in violation of the principle that we try to minimize mamzer as much as possible?
Yeah, but they will say that you know that Abbas is wrong. You know that it's a mishumi gunei kilo, and it's not a problem. And Abbas, I have to ask them. They say they're right. Most people think they're right. And that's it. Now, as I said in the outset, and I only have 18 minutes left, last time for matzahs. I mean, you can read all the tshuvas that I gave you only a small detail of. And we'll skip the earlier versions. You can read Rabbi Bleich's suggestion. Rabbi Tenner says we should make use the ksuva and go to the end. Alright? go to the present prenuptial agreements and the Israeli versions. Alright? What's involved in the present prenuptial agreement? Remember, the prenuptial agreement has two goals. Goal one is to get them to agree to a common basis. Make a commitment that if they don't, and they're no longer living together, they'll go to a particular basis. And therefore, the game of back and forth, this bezdin, that bezdin, blah, can't be played. Right? So one part of it is a statement of a particular bezdin. When it was originally done, they gave the couple and the rabbi doing the prenuptial agreement the right to enter the name of any bezdin they wanted. They discovered that caused more harm than good, so they decided to put in the bezdin of America. Now, one of the tricky parts about putting in a bezdin, understand, is let's say I know, because there's a bezdin in Elizabeth, New Jersey, and my brother-in-law is the head of the bezdin, and I have perfect trust in my brother-in-law, which is true, right? I have perfect trust in my brother-in-law, and I should write down on the get the bezdin of Elizabeth. Right? However, the couple getting married now, who says they can? The issue is going to come up 2 years from now. Maybe it won't come up till 25 years from now. 25 years from now, my brother-in-law probably will retire. And I don't know who the bezdin is going to be 25 years from now. So I'm writing that they will agree to go to such and such a bezdin on the assumption that the present dayanim is still going to be doing it. But it's not a reasonable assumption, because the problem of marriage breaking, divorces take place after 1 year, and they take place after 30 years. So why do I know? So they decided the simplest is to make an institutional bezdin. Since this prenuptial agreement was actually introduced, certainly to a great degree, by Rabbi Willis, who discovered the bezdin of America is the one that used it the most, they put down the bezdin of America. We're relying on the fact that even after the present dayanim retire, that this bezdin will retain its integrity. We have very little choice, right? This is an institution. We assume that the dayanim 30 years from now will be equally as important, and that'll be better than the dayanim today, because we like to think things are going to get better, or at least they'll be the same. So there's two steps there. Step number one is we want them to agree on a bezdin. Step number two, we want to pressure him to give his wife again. Right. Now, as I said back over an hour ago, if I make a fine, which was the original version of it, you can tie a smachta. What if I make him responsible for that which halachically he's responsible? We already have a takana that he's responsible. It's called takana shum, times of Rishon. Everybody agreed with a takana that's binding on people. And you can't say a smachta. And what is the takana? What's the issue? Well, the issue is very simple. A husband has certain obligations for his wife, wife has certain obligations for the husband. One of the obligations the husband has in a marriage is he has to provide for her needs. He has to provide food and clothing, he has to provide for her basic needs. Right? What takana shum did was to quantify that. Well, some people need very expensive clothing. Some people can get by in shmatas. You know, some people eat a lot of food. Some people are always on a diet. You're quantifying. Right? Now, until he gives her a get, even if they're separated, they don't live together at all, that responsibility still exists. He still has to provide for her. So what we're going to do is take that responsibility, put it in writing, put a dollar sign on it, have an agreement, right? It's not a smachta because that's halachically, he does have that responsibility, but we're going to put a dollar sign on it. What's the advantage of putting a dollar sign on it? In America, the biggest weakness of a bezdin is enforcement. The separation of church and state in America. So you ask me, so all the rulings of bezdin don't mean anything, right? Separate church and state, I can laugh and go to a secular court. So if the issue is monetary, there's a solution for that problem. The solution is that the bezdin not act as a bezdin, and they are acting as a bezdin, but not be considered as far as American law is concerned as a bezdin. As far as American law is concerned, they are a board of arbitration. Right? And if both sides in a monetary dispute agree to go to a board of arbitration, the arbitration decision is enforceable by the court. Right? Which means now that what the Bezdin decides, she can take it to the court and make him pay. So what you do is they quantify it. But they say that he's mochel, however, whatever money she's going to bring in. If we get to the Israeli one, they do it a little differently. They do it in terms of the incomes both ways. Yeah?
Him agreeing to go to that board of arbitration is...
binding.
Is the first step as far as going to the big team?
When he agrees to that bez, then he's agreeing that they are the board of arbitration.
Right, that's... meaning that it's not board of arbitration that has to be decided on after they decide.
No. The Bezdin become. Okay. Right, I don't have to go to arbitration school, right, to get a title, arbitrator, right? Anybody can do an arbitration. Not like anybody, even rabbis. So the rabbis have to do arbitration. Now, however, and this is another part that confuses people with the, because when you Mirz Hashem, you get married, and I trust you're going to use the prenuptial agreement, there's going to be a certain problem. You're going to get the prenuptial agreement, and suddenly there's a bunch of conditions. You can agree, you may not agree, and they're confusing about money, and about assets, and about custody. What we have here is the following issue. Right? There are really two ways one can go about dealing with this problem using the prenuptial agreement. One is to say Orthodox Jews should follow halacha. Follow halacha means who should determine the division of assets after the marriage is concluded? Bezdin. Who should determine custody of the children and visitation rights? Bezdin. Right? There's another approach. The other approach says, tafasta merubah lo tafasta. Right? People are not going to agree to that. And I've had a very fine Orthodox lawyer say to me, I would never let any of my people agree to that. Why? He says, because if I go to secular court, at least I know the parameters how they're going to function. If I go to Beis Din, I have no idea how they're going to decide monetary matters. I have no idea how they're going to decide custody. And I must tell you, I've sat on the Beis Din on custody matters, and I understand where they're coming from. Right? The Beis Din, yes, will consider the best interests of the children. You don't know where the dilemma is coming from. Right? The lawyer says, I can't tell my client to agree to something without a modicum of consistency. Right? I have to know something. Now, the truth of the matter, it's not as strong an argument as you could want, not because Beis Din is more consistent, is consistent, but because the secular courts are not consistent. Right? Because if someone has to go before family court, so you have to know the mazel which judge is going to be the case. Some judges will always give custody to the wife, and some mother. Some judges will always give custody to the husband, to the father. And some judges will always say joint custody. So it's not consistent because different judges, and there's great flexibility what the judges can decide. Because the sole criteria is what they think is the interest of the children, which is so broad, you can make any decision almost that you want. So you have the following options. Either you say, go to people and say, sign a prenuptial agreement, follow halacha fully, let the Beis Din decide everything. Right? But if I do that, I'm going to get far less people agreeing to sign the prenuptial agreement. Because many people say, no, I don't trust the Beis Din to deal with monetary matters. I don't trust the Beis Din to decide custody and visitation of my children. And it's inefficient, because unfortunately custody disputes are chos veneer, if I can use a halachic term. Custody disputes come up again and again. What do I mean they come up again and again? There's an agreement, right? The agreement that the child will live with the mother, and the father will have the child 2 Shabbos a month, and every alternate Tuesday, right? And that they agree that the children will go to yeshivas X, right? Following three things can happen. the husband, and he'll pay a tuition. The husband loses his job, or he becomes a multimillionaire. Right? He loses his job and says, what can I do? I can't pay the tuition anymore, sue me. But all the other things I want to keep, right? I want to charge the company regularly, but I don't want to pay tuition anymore. She says, wait. Second, it's the package deal. Right? Or he's now a one of the two of them wins the lottery, right? And we're talking about, you know, small money, which is serious to one person. The other one won the lottery. They won $30 million. What's this business about money? One. Number two, what if one of the two of them wants to remarry? And in remarrying, they're going to remarry somebody who wants to live in Israel, wants to live in Los Angeles. When it comes to visitation, schools, the person's going to live somewhere else. Number three, you agreed on school, right? Baruch Hashem, the young boy, young girl, graduates elementary school. Whole new decision. What high school should she go to? Start all over again. So in custody matters, and I can tell you that from having sat on a bed in a few times, that dealt with custody matters, the case is closed, you go home, the case isn't closed. And 3 years later, she calls and says he's not paying the bills. Right? And 5 years later, one of them says, I want to marry somebody, I want to move to Israel. So it goes on forever. So some people say, I've got greater stability in the court system than in the Beis Din system. Right? It's a stable process that if I have to come back, you know, can do it while in Beis Din. And if I move, I have to get a new Rabbanim. I can't go to the same Beis Din here because I moved somewhere else. So what the prenup agreement of the Beis Din America does, and if you have it in front of you, and I have an old version, it gives a bunch of choices, A, B, C, D, right? Which says that the Beis Din has the authority to deal with monetary matters. Yeah, thank you. It's IV, A1, 2, 3, and then B. Alright? And it says these sections are optional. I explained to you why they're optional. They're optional, so you have the option of agreeing to it without any financial matters. I let all money be decided by the Beis Din, period. I don't say why. Right? Or I let them set aside monetary disputes, but I'm assuming, and 2 and 3 are similar, I don't have time to go into precise details, it's in the back, a little bit. In the United States, we call equitable distribution of property. Split the property down the middle. Halakhically, we don't do it that way, but if a Pesnaish of a Mom is Kayim, if Beis Din decides monetary disputes, they can. Right? So I'm agreeing to equitable distribution. 4 says, B, that not only do I let them decide monetary disputes and division of property, I want the Beis Din to decide custody matters as well. Right? And C says that the Beis Din has the right in deciding monetary matters not just to split the money 50-50, but if it turns out that one of the two parties was unfaithful, or one was dishonest, or one was abusive, to take that into account. And let's say this is against what they call in secular law no-fault divorce. What if one really is at fault? Right? He was running around, going to Zonos, and she was a royal wife. But it's not fair to say, nothing happened, right? Or the other way, whatever. Right? One of them really was at fault. The Beis Din has a right to adjust it accordingly. Some people accept this, other people will not. I just have 3 minutes left to talk a little bit about Israel. Now, what happens, people say, but we're going to live in Israel. It's a different system. Different system in Israel. What good is the whole thing? So what they have is there's an equivalent hefkim in Israel. It's a lot of pages. You have it in Hebrew and in English, since I'm not going to explain the whole thing in 2 minutes, but you have it both in Hebrew and in English, right? It's a hefkim, the kvod hadadi, so mutual respect, right? pinatra agreement of mutual respect that was put together by some of the people who were involved in the pinatra agreement with Zalmanek and the Goldberg, and other people in Israel. Rabbi Willing just didn't do it on his own, ignored other people, including people in Eretz Yisrael who agreed to it. This is it's similar but not identical. Why isn't it identical? Because the law is different, right? The system is different. You can't make it identical, because number one, in Israel, secular courts don't deal with marriage and divorce. So the issue is a different issue. Right. Number two, there are all kinds of laws that the country has about property, marital property, and separations and legal separations, which are all incorporated. So this becomes a much longer document. Conceptually, it's very similar, right, to the prenuptial agreement in America, but has certain practical differences. Since you can read the English, and it starts with how you deal with separations, and how much time they're separated, and who you have to go to when they're separated, to deal with the issues of trying to get a shalom bias, to see if there can be reconciliation. At the very outset of the shiur, I pointed out that the difficulty in determining the aguna factor is at what point, when couples are separated, they really should they get divorced. There are many couples that have trial separations, they get back together again. Right? It's not always true that people, because they get separated, get divorced. And you don't want to push everybody, you know, to get divorced. There are some situations which you can't do anything about. So you have to have some criteria, which we don't really have in America, so I can't tell you how many people are really aguna. We didn't have criteria, you know, how far, how bad the marriage has been and how long they've been separated, etc., before determining. So this one has, everything is very formalized because it's all work within the legal system, right? The identity of a marriage council appointed by the Israeli Association for Marital and Family Therapy and Family Life Education, right? Everything works in it. And then it talks about the obligations, right? The obligations of the man and the obligations of the woman. Which, by the way, in the American world, we don't have an equivalent, because they were not able to find a monetary obligation for the women that would not be an asmachta. But in Israel, when it's all built into the law, not into their private agreements, they added that as well. That's one of the other points where it's different. They talk about termination, reserving of rights, how they deal with it. All right, I'm past my time. Look at the very end of the English version. No, before the appendix. All right, before the appendix, R. It says if they're not going to be in Israel when they get divorced, and they can't do it where they are, it flips back to Bezdin of America. So it's clear that the two groups are working in harmony. All right, I had a couple. I performed a wedding not that long ago. They were going to be in America for a couple of years, and they had every intention of going in Aliyah, and he is an Israeli. So it's not just people say, I would like to live in Israel. He mom is an Israeli who's staying in America in order for his wife to finish his degree in school. Right? So they really come, and we went, and we asked Rabbi Reis, and he told him to do the American version. He did the American version. It's clearer, simpler. And you have a clear-cut Bezdin, and there's more complication in the Israeli version. You have to ask him why he made that a delegation. I used up my time. I didn't have a chance to review. I will be first to tell you that there's much more involved than anything I could have said, you know, in the time that I have, even in the Ma'amar Kamus I gave you, and I didn't even give you a chance to discuss some of the alternate versions of it. Rabbi Bleich's arguments and what he does, but you have the article. So if you really want to pursue it further, I suggest that you do so. Is the prenuptial agreement a permanent, a full solution? No, because it's not a guarantee. It's not a guarantee. It's much better than anything else we have. And the other solutions that I've mentioned, Afkar's solution, Sinai, suffer from the fact that most of our Rabbanim don't accept it. If they don't accept it, can be the best solution in the world, but if it's not accepted by most of the Rabbanim, so then it doesn't work. Yeah.
Is
As far as getting rid of the conditions, let's say sometimes the videotape of the application, they see that the witnesses or the rabbi.
Oh, that's something else. That's something else. No. Wait, 1 second. There are situations. Hafkar's Kedushin is not the same as this. I'm glad you brought up the point. I'm going to take one more second of your time. Hafkar's Kedushin is not the same as discovering that it wasn't a valid Kedushin. Right? I didn't discuss the whole question of conservative rabbis before marriage, make vision, civil marriages. What if we know that the Eidim were psulim? Right? Someone just told me about performing a wedding and discovering that the Eidim were cousins with each other. And the Eidim can't be related to each other, nor related to the cousin and the cousin. Right? I had a wedding I performed where I literally asked the cousin all the standard questions, is this your ring? Did you purchase it with your own money? He said, yes. And the next morning, the cousin's brother tapped me on the shoulder in the base manager and said, my brother was embarrassed. He didn't have the money when he went to buy the ring, and he borrowed his then fiancée's credit card, and she bought the ring. Right? So you can argue between that, but it's not like we did another mice solution the next morning. Right? A solution could turn out to be invalid. Hafkar's solution is not the same as a solution turning out to be invalid. It's making a decision based on other factors. The formal Kedushin was done properly, right? It met all the halakhic criteria. However, either there was a toss, a toss and someone misidentified himself, or there was the kind of behavior that was hidden or whatnot that caused the Chachamim to say, who wants to Shiloka Hogan, we're going to treat him Shiloka Hogan. Okay? I hope that clarified that. I know it's too bad. I should get two of them. But I hope they at least got some idea. And they can read the rest.
There aren't any other sheets. I didn't read the
I'm sorry to make it so big, but it's just adding the Israeli statement in Hebrew and English. And I didn't want to put an Israeli statement in English only. It didn't make sense. Right? So just adding the ingredients in them. Yes.
What happened?
This is the first version was a fine, and they dropped it because people claimed it was a mismatch.
What happened with all those who had that?
Good question. They didn't get any advantage. No, because they didn't. The truth is that prenuptial agreements have really been applied, but they've been signed by many people. I don't know how many cases they've been applied. No. How often is it applied? Most people who sign the prenuptial agreement are still married.
He's
talking about an earlier version. I had it written in the earlier version. If someone wanted to dab mincha,
Israel.